This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
But let's go to our guest. We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in Greg Bancic. He is the Columbia School Superintendent over in Columbia Station. Greg, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Ken and Anthony. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing wonderful. You've stepped into the hornet's nest, my friend. All right, here we go.
Not your hornet's nest, Anthony's hornet's nest.
Tone, take it away.
Well, I would just ask, first of all, Craig, how did you guys decide, how did your school decide, Greg, how you guys were going to vote on this and, you know, what factors were going to be in play when you did vote? I'm assuming that was a no vote from Columbia Schools?
It was a no vote. That's correct.
Okay.
So, first of all, I want to say that the colleges are, you know, they're making millions right now off of their student athletes. And I fully support the fact that the NCAA allowed the NIL to take shape with their collegiate athletes. However, in high school, we talked about this. Several people responded in regards to minors. They're minors. They're here to get an education. Now, eventually, do I think it will pass? I think you're right. But at this time, the college part of it is a nightmare. So we need to let to see this play out and see what happens and get a good plan moving forward instead of just saying, all right, colleges did it. We're going to do it right now.
What were your first concerns when you heard about this?
Well, the first concerns is the money that it's going to cost the school districts. I mean, you're going to have a compliance officer, compliance department. So that's some of the things that people don't think about on the other side of things. You know, when we talk about kids getting paid, well, we have to make sure that they're doing it the right way. Is our athletic director going to have enough time to do this? Is our principal going to have enough time to do this right now? They're way too busy now to even worry about something like that at this point in time. So we have to be very cautious on how we approach this moving forward. And if it's a good plan moving forward, then we sit down and reevaluate.
But aren't you right now supposed to, let's just say you had, you know, a number of 5-star recruits and they're getting some social media attention and they're getting, let's, for lack of a better term, flirted with by some college assistant coaches who, you know, they are obviously under the purview of their compliance, but, you know, aren't you supposed to self-report anything right now? Technically, aren't you supposed to have compliance over what your athletes are doing now anyway?
Yes, we do have compliance over everything in regards to OHSAA, but it's not as much as you would think it would be. When you open up the NIL, you're talking deals for, you know, we have up to 125 athletes per season. Now, we're a small school. Like in football, we're Division VI in football. Think about a Division I school that might have 400, 450 athletes at any given time in regards to their school. So the compliance is a huge issue when dealing with NIL.
What are the positives that were presented to you out of this as of right now?
As of right now, I can't really think of any positives that's this time until there is a plan. Like I said, in the NCAA, there's a nightmare. There's going to be infractions for some of the major D1 programs. So they don't even have it right yet. So it's not the right time to bring it to whether it's an 18-year-old kid or a minor in high school. It's just not the right time to put this in. They're here, again, to get an education. I mean, the state forces us to have a financial literacy class. We have to teach these kids how to use a credit card, how to write a check, how to use money, how to rent an apartment. So I just think it's a little too early right now. We have to make sure that those protocols are put in place to even think about moving forward.
So did they present you guys with this vote? And I know the principals voted. I understand this, but they presented this without a plan of actually of action of how they would implement this.
Well, they have a plan, but I think it's very similar to that of the NCAA. You know, right now there's only, and when I say this, there's only 10 states that allow endorsement deals. And there is one state, actually Florida, that is being sued to have it pass.
Tone, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm wondering because we're thinking of, you know, the extreme examples. And I brought up LeBron James and O.J. Mayo, and there are these two sisters in California who are going to Stanford. One of them plays on, you know, the U-20 team for the USA. So could be an Olympian down the road, certainly. Could be figuring into that. And they have huge TikTok followings, and they're going to get paid. And most likely, they're going to probably be fine. They're probably one way or another, whether it was legal in California or not, you know, that money or whatever benefits were going to filter to them one way or another. You saw that with LeBron James. And LeBron James, who was, you know, selling out arenas in high school, do we not think, and granted, this is once-in-a-lifetime thing, somebody like LeBron or O.J. Mayo, but they were filling out venues. Do you not think that there should be some inherent benefit to them outside of just their Division I scholarships that were waiting for them? Do we not think that they should have benefited at all from the fact that their schools were selling out and clearly making money? I mean, they were selling jerseys at one point. They were clearly making money. Do we not think that they should have benefited in some way, shape, or form?
Well, when you talk about it, so you have a broad stroke. You're talking, let's take a guess, less than five athletes in the state of Ohio. You know, when we talk about LeBron James, and it's a unique circumstance.
Sure, right? And he was suspended, just so people remember. OHSA
Correct.
Ended up suspending him for taking benefits.
Right, he violated OHSA regulations. So we're painting everything with a broad stroke for a minimal number of people. Overall, and like you said earlier in the program, you know, there's a few hundred dollars when you talk about Division III NCAA student athletes, which my son is a Division III student athlete, and he does not have an endorsement deal, so you know. But when you paint the broad brush over everybody, you're talking about, what, 1%?
Less than
maybe
that.
1%. So we have to be very careful when we talk about certain things. And then the other.
Yeah, the reason I ask is I just said fundamentally, maybe it's morally, ethically, do we not think LeBron James, who raised how much money? I mean, there were bars and restaurants locally here in Cleveland when he played in Cleveland that are benefiting from that. LeBron fundamentally should not have received anything from that because of OHSAA. Maybe very old, maybe outdated, archaic rules, should not have received anything for that?
In my opinion, yes, because he's just like an NCAA athlete that, you know, that they're benefiting millions off. So in that case, yes. But again, it's a very small percentage of high school student athletes that would receive an endorsement deal like a LeBron James or very few people in the state.
Well, I'm a little bit confused here. Like, okay, Katie Najat, right? Now she's an Olympian.
Yes.
Like how does it work? Because that's like an individual sport, but in a team setting in high school. But there's going to be kids who are obviously cut from a different cloth. Can they find sponsorship? Is there anything there already? I mean, how does that work?
If I'm not mistaken, I think a kid can receive something up to $400, and I'm not sure exactly the line item in regards to state. I think it was 500 at one point or vice versa. But, you know, endorsement deals and things like that are not available for student athletes in high school.
Okay. So if she goes, so there's no opportunity for her to be sponsored personally. If there's any sort of qualifier or anything like that by anybody else.
No, because she violates the rules for the OHSAA, so she cannot be. So she would be deemed ineligible
okay.
in this case.
Well, so as of right now, I know and Greg Bancic joining us, Columbia School Superintendent on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So let me ask you this, Greg. What would you need to be presented with for a yes vote from Columbia Schools and, frankly, from basically, it seems, 80% of the school districts out there?
Well, I think that we need some time to see it, let it play out maybe in these other 10 states,
uh-huh.
but also let it see it play out in the NCAA to see what that process is and how and why it would benefit. I understand what Anthony and you, Ken, were saying earlier today in regards to it may be a sweatshirt, it may be this, but I want to see how it plays out and we get the protocols put in place and we know exactly what we're allowed to do and what we can do in regards to moving forward. But at this point in time, until that takes place, our vote would be no. And right now in the state, there was 538 schools that said no. And the other point of it is 813 out of 817 members voted on these referendums. That's the largest number that I have seen vote in a long time.
Wow. Well, I have to say, Greg, we yesterday put it out there, and I was critical immediately after the ruling just because I wanted to hear from people. And I have to say, at least you called. At least you called up. And you shared the opinion of you, your school, maybe other administrators. Were you guys all on the same page on this, by the way, or was this a difficult matter? Because eventually, every school just has to have one vote and proceed forward on one vote.
Sure, and the principal does submit the vote, but the principal, athletic director, and myself do talk about it. We also talk about it with our coaches, so our coaches have input. I think it's very important to have input across the board in regards to any decision. But it's like anything, Anthony, your initial reaction, anybody, even anyone listening to the station today, their initial reaction is, you know, whatever they feel at the time. And then they sit back and they think about everything that's going on and how do we address this and how we move forward. I will never say, you know, in the long run, if we have discussions and there's protocols put in place, is there a chance to change my mind? There could be, absolutely. You know, we never want to say no. We're in schools. We want to benefit, you know, our kids, our students, and our student athletes. And we want to give them a great experience here, not only in Columbia Schools, but across the state of Ohio and the country.
Greg, we thank you very much for the time, my friend. All the best.
All the best. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you. Greg Bancic, Columbia School Superintendent on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. That was State House tone that came out right there.
I know. I found it very interesting. Obviously, I disagree with Greg, the superintendent, on it was hard for him to find some benefits for the student athletes. I mean, I think there are a lot of potential benefits. I also don't think, you know, I brought up LeBron James just because I want to know on a fundamental level, you know, how we feel about these things because there are, you know, I've even brought up the Little League World Series. Like, do we want to pay the Little League World Series kids? But they are making money. They are making money from the television networks.
Part of me wants to. Just because
that's an extreme example.
I hate seeing the coaches. Some of them just, right. Some of them just seem very Bobby Cox to me, and I don't want to deal with
it. So I've always wondered, and I knew at the college level, this was going to be absolutely brutal. And just like the superintendent said, how in the world can these schools that are so taxed as it is, trying to figure out how to fund their schools in every single district, the state money coming in, how they're going to pay their teachers and have the resources. Oh, now, by the way, you have to have compliance officers. Right. He's pointing some of the obvious flaws in all of this. And all I'm sitting here saying is, what, kids can't have some free hoodies and some free merch and some free gear without suspending them?
But at the same time, what stopped me? Like, my neighbor plays high school baseball. What stopped me from going to buy him a hoodie?
Right. Right.
Just buy him a hoodie.
Yeah.
But I really wanted to just buy him a hoodie.
Technically, you got to self-report. You got to self-report, and you could be suspended by the OHSAA for doing that. That's what I'm saying. We're looking at it at the bare bones of this.
Who's the guy now? Is it Oops? You bring it on, Oops. Try to suspend me, buddy.
I'm sending him that. I hope he does.
Who was the guy we had on before during the pandemic? I can't remember his name.
He wasn't the head man. They were dealing with some stuff at the time.
Oh, yeah. The top of the OHSAA.
Oh, man, he was a good guy. John Telich, 920. Up next, it's not just 1 of 162. You have every right to be mad after last night. Ken Carmen, Tone Master General on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.